Blog Talk Radio. July 22nd, 2013, and this is Foxology. Thanks for dropping by, and happy Monday to you. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Well, it's a great day, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it is. Say it with me. It's a great day. You know, words have energy and power. That's why I wanted you to say it with me and out loud. Chances are there will be a few things that pop up in your life today that will attempt to change and challenge that thought. But I encourage you to stay focused and firm on the idea that this is a great day. You know, as soon as you bow down to a problem or an issue or a situation, it's robbing you of the greatness of today. All you can do is handle it to the best of your ability, and that's what you should do. As soon as you buy into negativity and naysayers, you sell out your greatness today. Don't do it. No, don't do it. No matter what the day brings, say it's going to be a great day. That's my confession, and I'm sticking with it. You just might be surprised at the outcomes when you put it out there like that. So let's say it one more time. It's going to be a great day. Yes, indeed. Well, this is also going to be a great show. Talk about the power of words. My guest today does just that. She talks about the power of words. She's an international speaker, author, and CEO of the Public Speakers Association. And she helps aspiring speakers turn the power of their words into profit. Talk isn't always cheap. And Tanya Hoffman can prove it. I'm delighted to have her with me today, and we have so much that we're going to be talking about. Welcome, Tanya.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous today. Talk about
me
fabulous.
Too.
We'll be talking about that, too. Well, thank you so much for being my special guest. I'm very excited about our conversation. It was such a great pleasure to meet you some weeks ago. It's been a couple of months now, and when I saw your materials, I knew I needed to have you as a guest, and we made that happen. So thank you so much. I want the audience to learn some things about you and what you do. I love it when I meet people who are in the business of helping other people grow and develop, and that's what you do. So thank you.
Well, I'm
so you
being
are
here.
The yes, so am I. You are the founder and the CEO of your own company, the Public Speakers Association. Why don't you start out by telling us about that company?
Well, I do a lot of coaching and helping people become, you know, national and international speakers, and kind of tell them how I've done it, and not only just the, you know, perspective of get up there and speak, but how do you actually make money from it? How do you help more people? And I started a real need in the industry for, you know, people to learn the most up-to-date information about the speaking industry and then how to utilize it to market their business more, make more money, and especially to affect and change more lives around the country and the world. And so I started it back in January of this year. It is going all across the United States right now, and we're about to open up the UK. So it's obviously resonating with a few people.
That's wonderful, Tanya. I often think how so many people feel like they've got something they want to say, and I often see that the biggest challenge is knowing how to craft it into a truly marketable message and also how to actually do the branding and the marketing of it, and you help with that too.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, how do you get in front of more people, get your message out there clear, precisely, so that it markets you to the best light. And then how do you really adjust for all of the nuances, not only in the business realm, but in the speaking realm. So there's a lot of moving parts. And I love bringing my friends, you know, they're all national, international speakers, up on to the platform to really kind of give the detailed information that people really need to know that no one's usually talking about, you know, kind of bringing the secrets out. I hate keeping things a secret.
Well, let me ask you something. I love your phrase, the moving parts. I know that, again, a lot of people would love to do this. You and I both know that people skills can play a great role in becoming a wonderful presenter. And I know that you have some background that typically people wouldn't so much associate the growth of interpersonal skills or professional speaking skills with it, but I know that it really does work. You've got some retail industry experience. Tell us about that and how that's played a role in your own personal skill development.
Yeah, I've never worked in corporate, which shocks a lot of people. At 25 years old, I had an opportunity to buy a retail store with my husband. And so from then on, it's been, you know, a adjustment to, you know, needing to help as many people, and that's really what sales is, as possible, so you're making an income and making a living. And so we had a retail store in Houston for 7 years. We opened up a second location. They were science and nature birthday party stores with we did science fair projects and science birthday parties, and getting the reaction and interaction, not just from the physical one-on-one, but also the marketing. You know, how do you get them into your store? It taught us a whole lot, especially at a young age. And we've always brought that forward because if you're not satisfying people's wants, not their needs, but their wants, you are not going to get them to even, you know, approach you, come in, say hello, and buy something. And so, yeah, everyone should work retail just for the experience of it. But, you know, it's also about learning those little nuances to the insights of people. You know, what do they actually want from you, and how can you help them with that?
In all of that, I think I heard you say that there's a certain level of energy to engage people, enthusiasm. I'm thinking, again, I'm translating what I heard you say into from people skills to speaking skills, and also that element of persuasion that often we are coming across with when we are speaking and want to be convincing. And certainly all those things, those elements played a role in you getting people to buy into your business and to build a customer base. Is that correct?
Exactly. You know, you've got to look at how can you help people, you know, when it boils down to the end of the day, is it what they want? Because a lot of people focus on what the person needs. And if they don't want to change, or they don't want to change a mindset, a habit, whatever it is, you know, they're not going to buy it. And so I think especially with retail, you know, you really got to be sensitive to people's wants when they walk into a store versus what they're needing to do while they're there, because it's rarely what they need to do. It's what they want to do. And, you know, when you can sell, I used to sell dead cockroaches. And people are like, what? How could you sell a dead cockroach? You had to find out what the people wanted. And a lot of people did not want to do their own science fair projects, especially the insect collecting. And so we would go around collecting dead insects and spreading them for people and things like that. So, you know, when I say I could literally sell dead cockroaches to people, but it's because it was what they were wanting. It was the value proposition in it. They didn't want to go find their own dead cockroach.
Well, my first response to that is you. And then I want to say, I certainly can see, again, I'm making the analogy between what you're saying and how to apply that to a person that you are coaching or offering tools to develop for speaking. And again, that element of being convincing and persuasive, and again, having an audience, you had to have a particular audience, because certainly not everybody wants to buy dead bugs. So I it's important. What do you tell people when it comes to methodically developing your message so that it makes dollars and it makes sense to the people that you're talking to? Tell us about the focus on how your audience and how to connect that to the message.
So a lot of people talk about target markets, and it is true, you know, but the problem that most people has is their target is too wide. Most people are like, oh, women between the age of 35 and 65. Well, you know, that's a huge market. So I try to break it down even. Yeah, exactly. I try to break it down into what's the person like. You know, I've got rules in my organization and my businesses for a long time, and one of them is you have to be nice. No mean, grumpy, negative people allowed. And the reason I created that rule is because it eliminates anybody who wants or even is closely resembling being negative, because I don't have time for it. It's not the kind of clientele I want. Now, most people don't have that as a target market. I do, and it's made my business explode, because now I'm targeting the same people that are like me. I also reach out to multiple different types of people. So a lot of times people niche themselves too extremely, and they don't try to diversify themselves. So they're not trying to grow their database beyond their comfort zone. And so a lot of people are really surprised, because I'll go and I'll speak at a conference, and, you know, I may not even, it may be all men there and I'm the only woman, or it may be an ethnicity that's not the same. It's maybe not a diverse crowd. It may be, you know, whatever it is. But it's because I reach out and I want to connect, because the core value proposition for my target market is not what they look like or, you know, who they are. It's what kind of person are they? And because I develop it that way, I attract those people. So I'm attracting the right type of people for myself. So I've got it where, you know, I don't want people that are perfect. I can't be perfect. I don't want people around me who expect me to be perfect. So if you create target markets that aren't just, you know, ages, this, and I want women, if it's more of a core value proposition, now you're attracting people to you that will help you explode, and you get the right message out, right? If you're telling people they have to be nice, well, now you have an excuse, if they're not, to let them go as a client. It's an easier proposition for that.
How do you feel about individuals developing a message with a concept along with it, based on what you have just described? And if we're talking about, let's say we're talking about the art of being nice, like, since you put that out there, what exactly would you tell a rookie starting out, if that's their idea,
Who would you tell them, Tanya, that they need to start reaching out to, or how would you guide them into the right place to land? Because what I heard you say, I think, could potentially mean that some of us learn by trial and error. Oh, that didn't, that bombed with that group, and oh, they didn't seem to be really very interested. Oh, that group did. And so then you kind of figure out, oh, those are the kind of people that I should be talking about. Is there any way to avoid having to learn the hard way? Is there any way that we can learn besides the trial and error who we need to gear our messages to?
I think most everything in business is learning to fail and fail fast. So the more you put yourself out there, the more you try new things, the more you're going to succeed, because then you'll find out what doesn't actually work for you, because that's a very important proposition that you have to find out. So marketing, target market, everything you do should be, okay, let's try it. And if it doesn't work, well, I know that that's not a target market for me. So when I started first speaking, I spoke in front of a lot of different groups. One of the groups I spoke in front of was the Executive Women in Texas Government. It was the largest group that they ever had come to hear a speaker. It was a packed room. People were standing even outside the hall to listen to it. But I realized I did not resonate with the crowd, because they all have an employee-minded mentality, and I obviously can't reach those people. Excuse me. So when I looked at, if I'm going to speak in front of groups, I need to speak in front of people who have already crossed that bridge in their mind and are wanting to be entrepreneurs. Excuse me. And then how do you develop that even further? So if I didn't take that step to be in front of that room, I wouldn't know that that's a good venue for me to, or not a good venue for me to speak at. And it's the same thing with any target market. You know, you put out the information and you see what sticks, but you've got to be able to, you know, kind of dodge and react quickly. So if it's not the right thing, you move on really quick. You don't just keep trying to make that one thing work. For example, I just tried to do a webinar series, and I pushed out all the information, and I had just done a webinar series that was extremely successful, but I thought I'd switch it up. Well, the new one, I had nobody react to it. Not one person said they wanted it. So I quickly got rid of that one, and now I'm about to relaunch a brand new one, and I'm going to see if that one works. Still doing the other one that I know works, but now it's constantly trying what doesn't work and what does, because that's the only way you grow in business. And in, you know, anything that you do, personal development, and sometimes it's uncomfortable, and most of the time it's uncomfortable, but that's why you push yourself to do it and do it really fast, so that you can get through those comfort level, so that all of a sudden it's now comfortable again.
I think that what you said was some of the most excellent advice professionally that you could give to anybody, Tanya. So many people will come up with an idea, and because they believe in it so much, they'll beat it to death rather than saying quickly, like you said we should do, get rid of it. It didn't work. It's probably not going to if nobody bit, you know, the bait right away. And, you know, don't be afraid to try. Know that when you're putting it out there, you're literally trying to see if it's going to work. I think that is just phenomenal. And I really hope that what that will do for people is help them to see that's where you launch. You've got to give it a shot. Yeah, you may fail, but failure doesn't mean it's final. You get up and you try something else and, you know, see if that's going to work. And you said something else about the personal development. Public speaking training is an excellent way to break out of shyness and fears and lack of self-esteem. It actually is a great confidence builder. Do you hit on those parts of it from that perspective when you're working with your clients?
Yeah, you know, if people see me on stage in front of thousands of people or in front of a group for 20 people, whatever it is, But one of the things that makes it a big challenge is I didn't start off that way. You know, I'm a huge introvert, and it was very painful, and there's a lot of personal development that went into it. I'm so glad I did it, and I knew I had to because I wanted, my whole kind of philosophy is I want to reach as many people and change as many lives as possible. So I knew I had to get out of that fear. And so, you know, you do get out there and you try something new, and now I've got a kind of a rule. If I'm scared about something, if I'm a little bit uncomfortable, I'm going to go do it. Because one of my rules is I can't be comfortable anymore. Now, there's some days I take a comfort day. But in the whole, I want to see how can I continue to keep moving forward. And the only way to do that is to challenge yourself. Because most of it is all personal development. Most everything that you do is about personally developing who you are. All business is run the same way. The only thing that is a challenge and that gets in the way is the person who's running it. And when I realized that, that was a hard pill to swallow, but I'm glad I took that chance because I realized how important it was and how much I was leaving on the table because I personally needed to grow in a challenge. Even this morning, I even did something this morning that was a challenge. I did a webinar with the video live so people could see me talking the whole time. And I've been really reluctant to do that just because it was a little uncomfortable. It was a little hard for me to sit there and kind of see myself talking because you're always kind of judging yourself. And but I got immediate response back that they loved it. So it's always good. It's always great. Just kind of push yourself to do something and make yourself do it.
I agree with you. And I, too, Tanya, many years ago now, had a case of extreme shyness. And, I mean, it was really, really, really extreme shyness. And I can tell anybody, if I can break out of that place where I was to do the things that I've done in front of people and the things I do now with such courage and boldness and confidence, I will tell you anybody can, because unless I had taken some professional training and the things that I did, you know, were put in front of people, I would have never believed that I could talk in front of people. So I want people to know who are have an idea or aspiring, you feel a little much like I don't have the confidence, and I could never do that. Both of us, Tanya and I both, are saying to you, yes, you can. So just give it your best shot. Well, I want to ask you a couple of things about your workshop, and then I want to talk about being fabulous. So let me ask you a couple of things about that. I know you offer some workshops for people who can participate in the skill building and get all of the marketing knowledge that they need from you as well. Do you have anything coming up?
I've got a webinar series for people who are wanting to launch coaching programs or even kind of redefine or improve the coaching program that they have. And, of course, it also has the component of speaking, you know, how to use speaking to help their coaching program. But I see a lot of people just trading time for dollars, and they're just hungry. They're not getting enough marketing. They're not getting enough new clients. So they're kind of stuck in that reality check of, I really want to be a coach. I've got a lot of information to get out. I can really help a lot of people, but they just don't know how to take that to the next level. And so I've got a whole series of webinars. I think it's like 10 of them or something crazy, and it's once a week on Tuesdays. But they're all pre-recorded, or they're all recorded, and then so they're done live, and then you get the recording right afterwards. So if you miss it, you don't actually miss anything. Mm-hmm. And I would love to give your audience a huge discount for that if they're interested in it. So if they go to my website, which is Tanya Hoffman, and Tanya is T-O-N-Y-A, H-O-F-M-A-N-Y-A. And then Hoffman is spelled funky because my husband's family didn't know how to spell their last name right. So it's H-O-F, and it's got one F, M-A-N-N. So one F like feather, and then two N's, .com. And you'd be able to find more information about the action events, that I've got going on there. So you can find out all about it and what it's all about. On here, we have the early bird special of $4.97. If they put in the notes section, Foxy, we'll just use your review. I'll give it to them for $1.97. I'll give them to a huge discount for being a part of that and for being listening to your fabulous radio show.
That's excellent. And thank you for doing that for my audience. You have on one of your bullets from your seminar, 2 days to speaking nationally, make money from everything you do plus some. What I want you to share with us regarding that, and then we're going to move into talking about owning our fabulousness, what are some of the products and services that you think are absolute musts for people who are putting themselves out there as speakers to make the mega money?
Yeah, so if you look, one of the misconceptions that people have in the speaking realm is that speakers make a heck of a lot of money getting booked to speak. And if you look at all of the major speakers, you know, they're making $500,000, $1 million a year speaking, it isn't from getting paid to speak. You know, that's great when you get, you know, here's $5,000 or $10,000 or $1,500, whatever, because it's free marketing for you. But it's because they have a business platform that utilizes speaking. So that's one of the things that the Public Speakers Association that we really focus on. But when you look at how do you develop multiple things to kind of, and it's all a system, right? You've got to put together systems because it's really about getting people in as free, right? Social media, email marketing campaigns, you know, all of those kind of things. And then getting them into a low-cost entry point and then moving them through until they become VIP clients. So everyone should have a book. And we're not talking it has to be the best book in the world, okay? Start working on that kind of a book, but do a marketing book, you know, 60 pages. You know, here's the top 50 things you need to know about this industry, or here's the, you know, whatever. It's a marketing book. That way you can say you're an author and you can hand out something. So it's incredible marketing. Books are only really ginormous business cards. So it's a great way to get your name out there, and people are always impressed that you have a book. You could do CDs, and CDs are easy to do. So say you take a teleconference. Record it, use a small recorder, put a lapel mic on it so it's nice, crisp, and clear, and then turn that audio into a CD. So, boom, you've got a CD. And then you could package them together. You could create coaching packages, you know, different sizes, webinar series, teleconferences. Telesummits are really popular right now. So you could do a telesummit where you've got other people involved, so you're utilizing other people's people, right? So you have, Tanya Hoffman is going to be speaking. Well, I send out 75,000 emails a month. You want to be involved in that. You know, you want me to say something about it. You want me to say something on social media. So it's about connecting to lots of different people and utilizing each other and helping each other. Excuse me, I got such a problem today.
Get that frog out of your throat, girl.
I know.
You got a lot of talking
goodness.
To do.
I know. Probably because I'm doing too much talking.
Well, that's excellent guidance, too, for everyone. Let's switch gears a little bit because you've got a keynote message that you like presenting, and it's own your fabulousness. And I find that extremely exciting. I think that every kind of way we can help someone see their self-worth and build their self-esteem and encourage their self-confidence, we should do it. So I love the title of that message. Why don't you start off by telling us how that came to you to present?
So, of course, when you're speaking, a lot of things, you know, you'll say something and you get a reaction to it. And I'm always amazed by people. I get to meet so many people all over the place, and they all have such incredible uniqueness. And so one day I was doing a presentation, and I was just really frustrated because I had just had a bunch of conversations with several of the people at that event, and everyone was, you know, not wanting to own how fabulous they are. And so I just, you know, shouted out to everyone. I'm like, look at it. Everybody in this group is incredible. You have to own your fabulousness. And I just went on with the nisnesses. And everyone, they just loved it. And I'm like, okay, I like that. So I've been using it over and over again. And now I've developed a whole keynote, you know, kind of motivational, inspirational type of keynote presentation. Because if you don't own how fabulous you really are, that you have things that people need to know, then it is very hard for people to want to, especially coach with you or to buy your products or anything. You've got to own who you are.
Yes. And there's a big beginning to all of that. You know, you and I both know we can say that's easier said than done for some people. So let's start with an easy concept that you shared with me and see what we can tell people. You really do have to believe in yourself. And we know that everybody says that. That's nothing new. Believe in yourself. What the heck does that mean, though, to believe in yourself? Tell us from your perspective what you're saying to people when you say that about their fabulousness, that they have to believe in themselves first.
Right. So everybody's lived a life that I personally cannot live. And you have had experiences and have education and have learned things that there is no way in my short lifetime that I can possibly learn the things that you have learned. And because of that, you have, I always feel, an obligation to let people know what that is. You know, who are you? What have you learned? What have you experienced? How can you help somebody else today? And because of that, I see people really start to explode when they start seeing that. Because for myself, I mean, I held it all in. I was afraid of life. I was afraid to let people know who I was, because we all have that, oh, well, you don't want to, you know, focus too much on yourself. Well, there is no way that I could personally know what you know unless you tell me. So if you want a contest, I won't know unless you tell me. If you have a business, I will not know unless you tell me. And because I'm an introvert, when I would walk into Starbucks or a networking group or an event, I started had to kind of psych myself up. And that's what I kind of started doing for myself, is like, okay, I am doing a disservice to the people in this room because they need to know what I know. They need to experience my information. And the only way they will is if I open my mouth up and talk to them. And so now when I walk into Starbucks, I look around and I'm like, well, I better not be selfish today, because that's what you're doing. If you're keeping it all to yourself, you're being selfish. And so I look at it and I say, okay, I'm not allowed to be selfish today. I have to talk to people. I have to see how I can help them. It may not be something that I can do personally. It may be a connection. You know, I'm like, oh, my gosh, you need to know Silver Ray, you know. So if whatever it is, it's about helping somebody else.
So then you said that they need to believe that they're already fabulous. They need to believe that messaging to themselves, and then to know that they have a message, a personal message that'll make sense to somebody else. I love that. You go on to say that when it comes to being fabulous, know that you truly are. What's the makeup of that to you? You know, is it something about how we present ourselves professionally? Is it how we interact personally with people as well. When you say must on how to be fabulous, what do you mean when you say that?
So women or men are obviously different. Men, they own their fabulousness a little bit too much sometimes. And so they become cocky and they become arrogant. And, of course, that isn't where any of us wants to be. And so, you know, men have a little bit different issue where they've got to tone it down a little bit to connect. Where women, we just want to push it off on other people. Oh, well, it's because, you know, Joni helped me and it's because of this and because of that. Instead of saying, oh, I did that. I'm amazing. And if you look at people when they introduce themselves, right, even people on stage, a lot of times you're like, wow, they don't really believe that what they just said about, you know, that they can help somebody, because the whole time your body posture, the way you're projecting yourself, isn't confident. And it's very hard for women to look overconfident. So I would suggest for women is just push it as much as you can, because it's probably just about right when you feel like you're just like ridiculous. And especially from stage, you've got to get that out there. You got to get your message out there. And again, you have to tell people how fabulous you are. You got to tell them what you won. If you won a contest, you got to actually apply for contests and nominate yourself.
I love this. From here on into the end of the show, this is about being ridiculously fabulous. I love it.
There you go. It is. You don't be outrageous.
All right, all right.
Stand out.
Yes, absolutely. You also say, Tanya, true leaders also see the amazing qualities of others. That's a part of being fabulous. When you aren't hesitant to encourage and compliment others on how fabulous they are.
Right. It is always interesting to me how no one wants to encourage others or plug others, you know. It doesn't hurt, and it helps your business so much when you interact with others on social media, in your emails, wherever you are. When you say something nice about someone else and about truly how amazing that person is, then other people are like, wow, I want to be around her. I want to be around him, because if he's saying or she's saying something nice about others, well, gosh, I want them to say something nice about me. So it's a psychological approach to working with people. Because if they see you say negative things about other people, then they're not going to want to be around you, because they know that will come back to bite them. So the more you can plug and say how fabulous other people are, the better. And say it in a way that is from the heart, right? And it's not, oh, yeah, she's just so amazing. But you got to make sure that this part is, I mean, you don't do that. It's always full on, that person's incredible. You need to join their whatever, whatever. You know, you give lots of testimonials. You give a lot of, you know, especially on social media. A lot of times I'll just say, you know, hey, you need to know, like one day I said, you need to know all the Tonys I know. So I mentioned all the Tonys that I knew and said, you know, you just plug people. You're just saying, you know, how nice they are and how wonderful. Because most people are, you know, there's always those horrible people and we always get them around, but you don't focus on them. You focus on the amazing people that you get to meet and you know. So, you know, get out there and talk more positively about others.
So when we make it known that we think other people are fabulous, it just automatically makes us look fabulous too.
Exactly.
Another thing you say, and I love this also, you know, you just got a great list of things here. Being positive and thinking forward is true growth. Being positive and thinking forward is true growth. Let's break that down into two parts. Let's focus on being positive for a couple of minutes. You know, we've all got our concept of what that means, you know, and a lot of people find it very difficult to live in a world that we live in right now, and to find ourselves being positive about much of anything. Tell us your concept on it.
I can totally get where they're coming from. I think we all can. We've all had those moments. We've all been there, and some of them are still, you know, still there. And realistically, everybody is still there. Even when you're making a lot of money and you've got a lot of friends and everything, there's still things that could be tweaked. But it's your approach to life. And so I've had incredible ugly things happen to me in my past. You know, I've had cancer. I've been robbed and tied up when I was 6 months pregnant. Growing up, it was a pretty horrific childhood with a lot of really not very nice men. So I, for a long time, I kind of held that card, that victim card, and looked at everything through this kind of gray oversight, you know, grayness to it. And even though I was still kind of pushing forward, I wondered why there was so much pushing back. So I always hire coaches, you know. Every coach hires their own coach because we get it. We get that we can't see what we can't see in ourselves. And I had a coach that told me to everything I did that week, he wanted me to switch it around to make it a positive. So I remember real clearly going up to the gas station. It was right when all the gas prices went from, you know, $1 to $4 a gallon. And I was sitting there, and I was grumbling about filling my gas tank up. Oh, I can't believe it's so expensive, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, wait. Okay, I need to change this attitude. So now when I go and fill up my gas tank, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. I just went and got to go meet incredible new people. I got to drive to Houston or Dallas or drive wherever I wanted to go and get to meet new people. I got to go speak here. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to go have go lunch with this person. So it was a very positive what happened with the gas I did use and then what I was going to get to do with the gas I was putting in there. And so now I love going to the gas station. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it is. It's fun because I'm like, oh, my
not
gosh,
to me.
I can't believe it. It's like it's so much fun. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I got to go do a whole nother whole gas tank full of fabulous things again.
That was one of the best examples of flipping the script that I have ever heard, Tanya. If
oh,
people
good.
Don't get it from that, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Do you mean something similar then when you're talking about thinking forward, or is that more of a visionary type of approach to growth?
Yeah, it's more of a I've got to be uncomfortable. Right. If you start hanging around with a lot of millionaires and billionaires. And one of the things that I always heard coming out of their mouth is what they were doing next, what their new approach was going to be, what was their new marketing campaign. It was never about what had already happened. And I was like, wow, I am not doing that. I'm always talking about what we did last month or what we did last year or what's going on, you know, last week. I wasn't talking about what was going on this week, next month, next year. And so I started switching my focus from kind of the here and now and be in the past to here and now in the future. And so it was another kind of game changer of, wow, if I'm always looking at what's about to happen, well, that's a lot more exciting. And if I'm a little bit uncomfortable, that excitement level just went up another whole notch. And so it's been a great forward movement to that approach because it did take that kind of consideration. So, yeah, always look at what are you doing tomorrow and the next day and next week, and then how are you going to switch things around that you haven't been doing? You know, so if you haven't done a video webinar or a teleconference or a speaking engagement or whatever you haven't done yet, well, let's get that scheduled. Let's actually put it on the books and make it happen and force yourself to do it because now you're pushing yourself forward versus always, well, you know, I haven't done that yet. Well, that's looking in the past. Well, let's schedule it. Put it on your calendar.
So being positive and thinking forward is true growth toward fabulousness. Now, one of the last things you have on your list is victims never achieve amazing outcomes. And I will say victims never achieve fabulous outcomes. Same thing. And you say let go of the past, and I say let go of anything that's weighing you down or pulling you back or away from anything fabulous that you have in mind. Now, you speak to us about what that means to you and what you tell people in your keynote.
Right. So when you're looking always at the past, it's kind of like what we just were talking about, it's going to keep you there. You're never going to be able to go forward if you've got your anchor in something that's happened or something that's happening right now, right? So the other day, a perfect example for me, we're launching England. I want to go to England. I want to write off a trip to England, and now I have a big excuse to do that. And I've got all these other shows, events, right? You always figure out how to write things off, but you're always looking at, I've got all these things that I'm wanting to do, and my bank account does not allow it right now. So I'm like, okay, I can either think about right now, I don't have the money to do it. Or I can think of future. Okay, how can I make it happen, right? What do I have just sitting on my desk? What do I have that have a component to? And so I reached out to a whole slew of potential people that were going to the same event that I'm going to. So I found out about who's going to be there. And I just reached out to every single one of them, not trying to sell them, just reaching out. And I closed $15,000 from that one reach out. So a lot of times we get so stuck on what we don't have and what we need to make versus just going out and taking action, because action equals action. Action equals, you know, everything, knowledge, growth. So go out and do something, because you probably have a stack of business cards sitting on the table and you're like, yeah, but I emailed them. Pick up the phone, contact them, call people, interact with people, figure out how you can help them, what they need, you know, or do they offer something that you need? Do they need what you have to offer? You won't know until you have an actual conversation about it.
I want to go back down the list just real quickly of Own Your Fabulousness in case anybody missed it. You got to believe in yourself. You must own how fabulous you truly are. True leaders also see the amazing, fabulous qualities of others. Also, to be fabulous, inspire others to own their fabulousness and qualities. Being positive and thinking forward is true growth towards fabulousness. And making yourself a victim of past circumstances or situations will never allow you to achieve fabulous and amazing outcomes. That's really, really terrific. I want you, while we're right there, put a pin there and tell people who are living in surrounding areas where you're going to be giving this keynote address. Isn't it sometime soon in Galveston?
Yes, I'm doing a presentation at the Women's Business Center in Houston, and they're doing their event September 9th through the 11th in Galveston at Moody Gardens. So I'm very honored to not only do the keynote on Own Your Fabulousness, but also I'm doing a workshop, I think on speaking or something. I forget exactly what the workshop is. But yeah, that and always running around somewhere, you know, speaking at some place.
Right.
And if
right.
anybody needs to contact me too, to have me speak, I would love to talk to them about, you know, helping out their organization.
Okay. That sounds absolutely great. I want to make sure that, we cover a couple of additional points before I let you go. We have about 6, 7, or 8 minutes. Well, not quite that much, but we can talk about a couple of other things before I let you go about your day. I know that you have and lots of speakers do this, they have a mad dash during speaking. But I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about a mad dash to make things happen for yourself. One of the things that's on your handout for 2 days to speaking nationally is don't wait any longer to make your expectations for this year a reality. What can we say to people before I let you go that'll make them go into a mad dash mode for getting things done that they want to? The year is half over, but there's still time to accomplish things. Of course, they can come and see you or hear you if they're nearby, but you said pick up the phone. What are some other assertive techniques that might be useful that you can share with the audience, Tanya?
You know, I'm not a fluffy cloud, you know, dreamer person. I look in reality. And one of the things that I see business owners doing that really hurts them is they don't treat themselves as their own employee. So meaning if you were to look at your actions, what you do every day, would you fire yourself? And it's a hard look at yourself. It's a hard look at, you know, are you really happy with your performance? Because you should be working harder for yourself than you would for any boss. So if you're looking at, I want to make a difference in the world, and I've got an amazing product or service that I want to get out there, how hard are you really working? Right, there's systems to make things easier and there's connections to make things easier, but at the end of the day, are you tired? And I would encourage everybody to look at yourself realistically and really look into your heart. You know, how hard are you wanting this to happen? Because I see a lot of people, they say they do, but their actions don't equal it. So are you up, you know, at 8 o'clock, and are you working, you know, or are you staying in bed until 10, you know, well, then are you staying up till midnight, you know, what are you doing? And then be really, 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 really proactive. So don't wait for something to happen. Reach out and talk to people. There was a lady the other day, she heard me on a radio show. She went to my website. The person wouldn't even let me say anything except for my name, so I couldn't even give people a website or anything. And she searched me out and contacted me, because I got all my stuff everywhere, and wanted to know how to get involved and what to do next. She wanted to know who I was and to take that step, because she was wanting to put on a conference herself and she wanted some insight into it, because I'm always open to help people. So look at who is your target market and then who else has that same target market. If you find someone who does, reach out to them, pick up the phone and ask them, how could you play together? How can you play in the same sandbox? Unfortunately, most people are playing in their own sandbox all alone, and they wonder why nothing is happening, because nothing happens without connections. So how can you play together? And remember, it's got to be balanced. It's got to help the other person too. It can't just be about you. But then how do you play together? Can you do a webinar, a teleconference together? Can you do a little conference or a seminar locally if you're in the same city? You know, how can you refer people back and forth to each other if you've got the same target market? That would make it easy. Who do you have in your database you can connect them with? I love doing stuff like that. It is a charge for me to help somebody, especially connect to someone they need to know. So, yeah, stop thinking about just how is the dollar going to come in and start focusing on helping others. And through the action, we'll create money, we'll create opportunities, we'll create new clients. So get out. Don't stay in your house. Meet people in person.
Okay, awesome advice. In our last couple of minutes, Tanya, let's make sure people know all of the links to information about you. I know that I put 3 of them up. Why don't you share those links and make sure that we're driving people to you to get the help that they need. You have been incredible as a guest, and I love all of the things that you've shared, and there's so many skills and tools that an individual can gain from you. So share those links, if you would, please.
Sure. So there's my personal website is TanyaHoffman.com. Remember, that's Tanya with an O and a Y. And then Hoffman is with one S, like Frank, and two N's, like Nancy, .com. And then you'll find all the links on there to, I've got my book and my upcoming events and workshops and webinars and all kinds of fun things and how to book me to speak. And then there's the public speakers with an S, association.com. So www.publicspeakerswithanSassociation.com. And you can find out about a local chapter in your area. We also have virtual groups. We're about to launch a whole heck of a lot of groups throughout the United States and, like I said, in England. So if you're wanting information about getting connected to other speakers, those are great connections for you. We're also looking for people who would like to start up groups in your local community. So if you're interested, just reach out to me, and I'd love to have a conversation with you about it.
Then there's one for your new book. Let's make sure we throw that in.
Oh, okay. So my book is called A Client, A Day, The Coffee Shop Way. And so you can find it at my personal website, Tanya Hoffman, or you could type in the whole title of the book into your browser. So A Client, A Day, The Coffee Shop Way .com. and you'll be able to find it there.
All right. Okay. Well, this has been a very inspiring, educational, enlightening talk with you, and definitely proves that talk is not cheap, because we have shared a wealth of information because of you. So thank you so much for being my special guest today. I'm going to touch base with you again later today, but want to thank you so much for taking time to put all of that out there for us, Tanya.
Yeah, I really appreciate
it. Great information.
And for all of your listeners, if you have not connected to Miss Silver Ray, you are missing out on a big opportunity to know some fabulousness sitting right there.
Thank you so much. You enjoy your day. Take care. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. Okay, and thank all of you once again for being a Foxology listener. Please tell your friends on social media that Foxology airs at least once a week, typically around 11:30 on Mondays at 12:30 EST. But that time, there's some flexibility here and there now and then to accommodate our guests. But I want to thank you because I know that when you listen to this show, you took time to do that. You download it. You took time to do that. And that's pretty special to me. You inspire me when you do that. I want to wish you a wonderful, wonderful day. Hopefully you can join me once again. And I'll leave you with these words from Tanya Hoffman. Be ridiculously fabulous. Again, thanks for listening. Have an awesome day.